Welcome to Faith and Family. I'm your host, Andy Bates. Glad to be with you today. It's a great week. We've been talking with missionaries all week, and we have yet another missionary to talk with today as we learn about their work around the globe, telling the good news about Jesus, and what family life is like as missionaries. What is it like to pack up your family and move to the other side of the globe in a different country, a different culture? We're going to talk about that today and looking forward to getting into that conversation here in just a minute or two. If you'd like to join the conversation, we're going to be talking with Pastor Tom Crist in just a minute or two, and they're taking the family to Singapore. So if you'd like to join the conversation today, you can do so. 314-821-0850. If you're in St. Louis, outside of St. Louis, it's 1-800-730-2727. Or you can email your questions. You can send your questions and comments to family@kfuo.org. I want to say thanks to our underwriter, Concordia University, Wisconsin, for supporting this program and making sure that you have the opportunity to hear about these great missionaries and all kinds of great things that pertain to faithful family life. So thanks to Concordia University, Wisconsin. If you want to find out more about them, just go to our website. I encourage you to check it out. Go to kfuo.org and then go to the sponsor section. Click on the CUW logo, and that'll take you to their website. Find out about all the programs they have to offer and the locations they have to offer, which are all over the place, not just in Wisconsin. So don't let the name deceive you. It's time to talk about missionaries. It's time to welcome our guest, Pastor Tom Crist, joining us this morning by phone. Thanks for joining us today, Pastor Crist. Welcome.
Oh, thanks for having me, Andy. Good to be with you.
It's good to have you with us. Now, I had the privilege of meeting you and your family at my congregation a couple of months ago and hearing about your preparations for Singapore. Now, are you still in the U.S. and preparing for your move?
I am for about 2 more weeks, and then I'm going to Singapore by myself for about 2 months, and then coming back right before Christmas, and then hopefully shortly in the new year we'll be able to move the whole family over.
Wow. So getting ready to move the whole family. Well, let's find out about the Crist family. Who is the Crist family?
Well, of course, you got myself and my wife, Brenda, who I met at Concordia Bronxville. And she was a social work major, and she's just starting her Master's of Education program through Concordia Portland. So that'll keep her busy while I'm gone for a couple of months. And then, of course, you got my 3 daughters. I have all girls, so there's lots of drama in my house. You have 11-year-old Bailey, who is a swimmer and a chess player. 9-year-old Helena, who likes to practice gymnastics in the living room. And 6-year-old Morgan, who specializes in strawberry shortcake.
Awesome. Strawberry shortcake, that's pretty impressive.
Now, she has it all. She has it all.
So you met at Concordia in Bronxville, Concordia College in New York, or Bronxville, and are you originally from that area?
Well, I'm from Baltimore, and my wife is from Greenwich, Connecticut, which is almost like a suburb of New York City. So it was the closest Concordia to us for my family, and probably the main reason I chose that one of all of them.
Sure. Now, what led you to consider, first of all, the Office of Holy Ministry? What led you to consider seminary and pastoral formation and serving as a pastor?
Well, from very early, all my life, I went to Lutheran schools and really appreciated especially learning about the faith there, and was influenced by some fine teachers and pastors along the way. And what I really wanted to do at first was to kind of go into the school system and be a religion teacher or something like that. And some of my advisors encouraged me to consider the pastoral ministry and maybe be a campus pastor sort of thing. And so that's sort of what I went to college and even seminary with in mind. Although once I got to seminary, I remember it was right before vicarage. I sat down with my advisor, and I told him these plans of mine to go teach in a school. And he said, forget about that. Go into the parish. And I was a little offended by that at first. I thought, well, who is this guy to tell me what to do, you know? But I went out into vicarage with that sort of ringing in my ears, you know, go into the parish. And I loved vicarage, and I loved that experience of being in the parish, and I realized that, you know, a pastor is a teacher in the parish as well, and that you get to teach people of all ages and formally and informally, and it just really resonated with me that maybe the parish wasn't such a bad thing for me. So changed my, you know, intentions at that point, and I ended up graduating seminary and being called as an associate pastor to Grace Lutheran in Racine, Wisconsin, and I served there very happily for about 13 years before I made this switch to do the missionary thing.
And then what opened the doors? What made you start thinking about being a missionary?
Well, you know, I if you asked me 3 years ago if I would be a missionary, I would have never thought it would happen. I would have laughed in your face. You know, I couldn't have thought of it. But we had, you know, I guess what really first got me going was this. There was a pastor that we met at some conference who had gone overseas occasionally, you know, maybe a month or two out of the year, and was teaching in one of our, you know, international seminaries and helping train some Lutheran pastors. I think it was in Africa. And, you know, that just sort of went to the back of my mind. And as we were making plans for our congregation's work and what we would be doing, we were kind of looking for some extra things for our pastors to do and get involved in. Had a little extra time on our hands. And so it explored some different options. And one of those, you know, I thought was, well, maybe I could do something like this, you know, maybe go teach overseas or something. And I know that the Synod is very much, you know, making an effort toward that. In fact, the Global Seminary Initiative is the very first resolution we passed at this summer's convention. So I, you know, called up some people in St. Louis, and I made some inquiries about that idea, and they asked me very, very quickly. I said, well, do you have a PhD? And I kind of said, no, you know, I hung my head, and they said, well, then teaching probably isn't the thing for you right now, but would you consider church planting? And I said, well, tell me more about it. And then pretty soon the conversation turned to Singapore and this new opportunity that they had in mind there, and one thing led to another, and maybe about a year later, here I was accepting a call to serve as a missionary.
It's interesting how that all plays out. We've been talking with missionaries all week, and it's always interesting to me to hear the story of how God used a variety of things in their lives to lead them to consider such an opportunity to serve in a unique way. And it's interesting how education played such a big role in your path to prepare you for this. So now that you're getting ready, what's been the process like as you've prepared for you're leaving, you said, in just a few weeks to go over and check things out and do some a little bit of groundwork. What's it been like in the last year or so in your preparations?
Well, it's been an interesting year. It's been an exciting year. Of course, leaving the parish was very emotional, more so than I thought it would be. And so that was the first sort of challenge and hurdle. Said a lot of goodbyes and you know, made some big changes. We didn't know how long it would take to sell our house, so we put our house on the market. And the Lord is good. He sent us a buyer within 12 days.
Wow.
Of the house being on the market, yeah, which is pretty good in this market. And then we had a happy problem of having to find a place to live because we weren't ready to move overseas yet, you know. So we found a rental home, and we've been living here for almost a year now. As you probably know, and as many probably know, that the first phase of our work as a missionary now is what we call support building, where mm-hmm. we travel around and visit with different congregations and individuals and groups, and tell them about the work that we're going to be doing and give them an opportunity to support us, both financially and also with their prayers and encouragements. And so I've been traveling a lot. I've probably visited over 50 and have a relationship with over 70 different congregations and Bible study groups and pastors' meetings and schools and just all sorts of people who are supporting us and have heard about our work and are excited to see us get out there and get going.
So it does take a lot of work to gather up all that support. I know talking with the families all week, and they've all been very gracious about the support they've received, but it does. It takes a lot of time and a lot of relationship building in order to really prepare and gather the support that's needed to sustain you while you're there.
It's not inexpensive to send a career missionary overseas, and so it is a challenge. But what I found is that, you know, God's people are very welcoming and gracious to us wherever we go. They love to hear from missionaries. They love to hear about the mission work that our synod is engaged in and planning on. And it's just been a real joy in a lot of ways. It's not a perfect system, you know. I mean, obviously there are some disadvantages. It slows us down a bit. We can't accept your call and just go right away to work in the field. Mm-hmm. But there's some advantages too. I think it really helps to connect people with the mission and the missionaries, and you know, we don't feel so much like we're supporting some faceless bureaucracy or church, you know, government, but instead we have a real person who's doing real, and in my case, word and sacrament ministry out in a, you know, faraway place. But you can hang your hat on that because you met them. And I think it also gives me, as the missionary, a better sense of, you know, who it is that I'm working on behalf of. You know, I'm not just working for the bureaucracy of Synod. I'm working for these people as sort of an extension of their support of God's kingdom throughout the world.
That's so true, and quite often we fail to see it as that, to understand that really our missionaries are our missionaries. They're an extension of us, of our congregations, our church body. They're an extension of us, and us as the body of Christ being sent out around the globe to tell the good news about Jesus. Well, let's talk a little bit about where you're headed.
Singapore, yes. Well, it's kind of an exciting opportunity because the Missouri Synod is doing something new. We're establishing not only a new congregation, which is my particular bailiwick in St. Louis, or I'm sorry, in St. Louis, in Singapore. You're in St. Louis. By the way, I heard your weather report at the beginning of the hour, 88 degrees. It's almost always 88 degrees in Singapore. It's
really?
Right on the equator. you don't get much change of seasons and weather.
Yeah, looking at the forecast for the week, it looks like at 88, 90 all week long.
Yeah, pretty much, and always very high humidity as well.
That's lots of rain in the forecast.
More striking than the weather. But Singapore, you know, it's a crossroads sort of location for Southeast Asia. It's if you look at a map, it's at the very tip of the Malay Peninsula, which you've probably heard of Malaysia. Mm-hmm. And so there's it's a hub of shipping and trade and business and a real first world city. It's a very westernized, modernized city with skyscrapers and 5.5 million people, very closely, densely populated together. It's a very safe place. It's kind of got a reputation, I think, in some circles for the government being a little overbearing, but they run the country like a business in many ways, and so it's just an interesting location. Now, the reason that we're going there is also because the Missouri Synod is establishing a new regional headquarters to serve South Asia and Oceania. So all these countries will sort of be all of mission work and the ministry and the humanitarian or mercy work that we do in all these countries is going to be headquartered from Singapore. So you've got we'll be covering India, Sri Lanka, Bangladesh, Burma, Malaysia, Indonesia, and then Australia and New Zealand as well. But in that collection of countries, you have the second and the fourth largest countries in the world between India and Indonesia. So it's just a huge opportunity and a huge, you know, many opportunities for ministry in that region of the world where the Synod has not had a real strong presence, especially in the last 10 or 15 years.
So it's branching out and really starting something new.
In some ways, yeah. I mean, this is a new endeavor. It's new work. All the staff people coming in and starting to staff up this region. We're all new. We're all kind of learning the ropes. And yet, in some ways, it's also very old, because the very first country where the Missouri Synod ever sent a missionary, a foreign missionary, was to India. It was the late 1800s and the early 1900s. So, and we, of course, have a sister church body there, the IELC, the India Evangelical Lutheran Church, and very close ties with the Missouri Synod historically. And, you know, there are other Lutherans in the region as well with whom we have various relationships. But it is a fascinating place, full of history and opportunities to share Jesus and the gospel.
And a great opportunity at that. Let's talk a little bit about, I know you're headed to Singapore in a couple of weeks, just for, you said, a couple of months to do a little bit of groundwork. What will you be doing in that time there?
Well, you know, my job is to establish a congregation. So I'm a church planter, and people have often asked me, well, you know, what do you do to plant a church? How do you start? Do you start from scratch? And, you know, what's the process? And I kind of sheepishly tell them, well, I don't know.
Where do you find those seeds to plant?
I don't have a magic, you know, 10-step process or anything like this. I don't have a real firm plan, or, you know, this is step one, this is step two. But you know, I do have some contacts. I do have some interested people there that I've already been talking to and communicating with. And some of them are very much eager and looking forward to Missouri Synod establishing a congregation there. And some of them are asking questions and maybe not so sure. And you know, it's all over the spectrum. We also know that there are, there have to be, just based on statistics, quite a number of Missouri Synod lay people living and working in Singapore. Because it's such an international hub of business, many international corporations will sort of station people over there for, you know, 2 or 3 years at a time. These are called, you know, expats, you know. So we know there are some Lutherans there for that reason. I have one college student from Iowa who's a Missouri Synod Lutheran, and she's studying over there, you know, I think through December or something like that. So I just keep collecting all of these contacts and relationships, and I'll build on those in person while I'm there, and we'll see where the Lord takes it, you know. In many ways, I think it's probably similar to what would happen if you were starting a church here in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
It happens through word of mouth. It happens through relationships, you know, people who know people who are interested in coming and hearing more. It happens through, you know, just getting to know people.
What do you know about the culture? What have you learned about the culture and the community in which you will be living?
Well, Singapore is an interesting place. It is a very diverse sort of cultural setting. The largest group there would be, of course, the Chinese ethnics, with about 74-75% of the population. Now, that doesn't mean that all of them were born in China or, you know, have ever even necessarily been to China, but certainly close historical ties there and cultural ties. The second main ethnic group there are the Malay people. They're the indigenous people to the region. Sort of the, you know, Malaysia is also home to many of the Malay people, of course. And then the third group is the people from India. Again, not necessarily that they were born there, but of Indian ethnic heritage. And they make up this interesting blend and fabric of culture that is Singapore. Add to that the British influence, being a former British colony, so the English language is spoken almost universally there, which is good for me. A lot of people are very concerned when they hear I'm going to a foreign country like Singapore. They don't know much about it, and they'll sort of ask me, "Why, hey, are you going to learn the language when you go there?" And I kind of jokingly say, oh, I'm working on it, you know. Then I tell them that it's English, and I get off easy. But
it's not American English. It's not American English, though, correct?
Well, I guess you could say it starts out with a British English, but then it also is influenced by Chinese and the other, you know, cultures and languages there. In fact, there's a sort of a low form of English that is spoken there quite often, and they jokingly call it Singlish, or like Singapore English. And the government encourages standard English, but many people, as you can imagine, sort of speak the vernacular tongue. So there's still some learning to do there. Culturally, I don't know, I guess I would say this about the culture, too. From everything I've learned and seen, and I've been over there to visit already, too, one of the main emphases in the culture is that people really want to be successful financially. And spiritually, I think that, you know, is a concern for me as a pastor, because I see the problem of materialism there. Just to give an example, they talk about the five C's in Singapore, things that, you know, every Singaporean is supposed to be, you know, almost like sort of we have the American dream, but they have the five C's. And the five C's are this: cash, credit card, car, condominium, and country club membership. This is what all, you know, Singaporean people are supposed to be, you know, in pursuit of. Now, of course, as a preacher, that's a real softball for me, because I think about another C that these people need, that all people need, and that, of course, is Christ. Mm-hmm. But that materialistic culture, I think, can be a real challenge for us, as it is for, I think, American pastors. But I get the sense that in Singapore it's even more pronounced in some ways. Could bring some blessings too. You know, a congregation that's established there could, you know, conceivably bring some real resources to bear. But I often think about what Jesus said about, you know, how difficult it is for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven, you know, like the camel going through the eye of a needle. Singapore is a very wealthy country, a lot of millionaires there. Not everyone, of course. Mm-hmm. Many, many hardworking people struggling to get by. So we'll see. You know, that's another cultural thing to consider.
So in your first month or two there by yourself, you'll be doing some exploring, some groundwork?
Oh, certainly exploring, you know, certainly getting to know the place better. You know, I had a very brief visit there earlier in the year. I was there for just a week. And just packed so much in, it was almost overwhelming. So I think what I'm hoping to do is also get a sense of what it's like to actually live in another country. And I've noticed this even here in the United States. It's one thing to visit a place. Mm-hmm. It's another thing entirely to live there.
Absolutely.
Different places. You know. So I think in Singapore, I'll hope to sort of get a sense of that as well. And that, I think, will help me and my family, you know, better plan for what life will be like over there. It'll certainly be different, you know. For instance, one major thing already that we've been planning for is that in Singapore, almost everyone lives in apartments or condos, you know, these high-rise. The living space, the quarters, are almost certainly going to be much smaller than we're used to. And so even as we sold our house and as we've been living in this rental home, as I look around, you know, we've been trying to pare down our belongings. And boy, what an exercise that is. You know, thinking about all the stuff that we have as Americans, and it just takes up space. So trying to keep a lid on that and knowing that we're leaving the country soon and trying not to accumulate more stuff that we'll either have to move or store or get rid of.
Sure. You just look in any American garage and you can see how quickly we accumulate stuff.
Well, it's really amazing.
Today we're talking with Pastor Tom Crist, who is packing up the family soon and heading to Singapore. We're going to talk more with him about family life and how they're getting ready to move to Singapore and what it's going to take to get the whole family over there. So stick around for more right here on Faith and Family as we continue our conversation with our missionaries.
Thank you. Concordia University, Mequon, Wisconsin, overlooks the beautiful shoreline of Lake Michigan. This serene main campus of CUW is just 15 miles north of Milwaukee, with all its vibrant cultural attractions. At Concordia University, Wisconsin, students living by the motto of inspiration in action can choose from 69 undergraduate majors, 14 master degree programs, and doctorates in pharmacy, physical therapy, and nursing practice. For more information or to take a virtual tour, visit cuw.edu.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
Sex selection is one of the most repulsive reasons for abortion. It's usually practiced when parents find out they're expecting a girl but want a boy, so they abort her. Sex selection abortion is running rampant in India and China. So far, more girl babies have been aborted in Asia than the entire female population of the United States. Professor Matthew Connolly of Columbia University testified in Congress that sex selection abortion began in the 60s, and guess who was behind it? It was none other than Planned Parenthood's head of research, Stephen Polgar, who first urged biologists to work on a way to identify the sex of an unborn baby. The rest is disgraceful and tragic history. It's time we stop tax funding of Planned Parenthood.
Check out Life Issues on Facebook and stay more informed than you've ever been.
What's missing from the media coverage of recent terrorist attacks on a mall in Kenya and a church in Pakistan? We'll find out Wednesday on Issues Etc. from Terry Mattingly of Scripps Howard News Service. Also on Wednesday, we'll discuss Jesus healing a paralytic from Matthew chapter 9.
Issues Etc. live weekday afternoons from 3 to 5 on KFUO.
If you have a question or comment for us at Worldwide KFUO, it's easy to contact us on our website, kfuoam.org. On our homepage, click on Contact Us, where you'll find a map and directions to the station, our telephone numbers, and an online contact form. You can also send an email to our in-studio account, kfuo@kfuo.org. We'd be happy to hear from you today. Thanks for listening to Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.
Book Talk is for all who like books about the Christian faith, and there are so many of them, old books, new books, classic books. Jiminy Durante says it well.
I'll never forget the day I read a book. It was contagious, 70 pages. There were pictures here and there, so it wasn't hard to
bear. That's what we do on Book Talk. Remember the day we read the book and chat about it with its author. Join us, live streaming archive.
Pope Francis is meeting with key advisors for a three-day brainstorming session on church reforms. Francis said yesterday that he doesn't want a Vatican-centric church, but a missionary church that reaches out to all, including non-believers. Vatican analyst Massimo Franco says Francis is meeting with eight cardinals and wants new ideas.
It's a sort of strategic cabinet to try to understand what the priorities are in the world for the church.
A federal judge in New York has revisited a decades-old court settlement restricting how the New York Police Department conducts surveillance. Civil rights lawyers accuse the department of breaking those rules by monitoring Muslims. More than 30 religious leaders from a variety of faiths have joined a new group to fight a proposed casino at Suffolk Downs in East Boston. The group is called the Friends of East Boston. The pastor of Most Holy Redeemer Catholic Church told the Boston Globe a casino would lead to increased gambling addiction and personal bankruptcies. I'm Norman Hall.
Welcome back to Faith and Family. I'm your host, Andy Bates. Glad to be with you today as we continue our conversations on missionaries this week and family life for missionaries as well. So today we're talking with Pastor Tom Crist, and they are packing up the family and moving to Singapore soon to tell the good news about Jesus on in the community in which they'll be living on that side of the world. Looking at the global clock, it is it's about 12:30 a.m. there right now on Thursday. So they're what, about 13 hours ahead of us already, and so literally it's tomorrow there. Are you, how's that going to work out, Pastor Crist? Being almost a half a day ahead of your family while you're there for 2 months.
Well, it presents some challenges. You know, while I was there for my short visit earlier in the spring, we made a practice to Skype every day at, you know, morning and bedtime. Of course, for me, bedtime was, you know, her morning. So my wife said, you know, I always looked forward to waking up in the morning and Skyping with you because I could hear what you had gone through and done that day, and that was very exciting. But I wasn't really so interested in the nighttime thing because you were just waking up in the morning and you had nothing good to tell me.
Well, I had some good sleep. Or not so good sleep. So you're getting ready to move across the world for a couple of months. And we've talked about this a couple of times this week with the other missionaries, the advance in technology, the technology that we have today, especially when it comes to communication, what a difference that makes for our missionaries.
You know, I remember hearing a story that the very first missionaries that the Synod sent to Japan, it was 1947, which first of all just shocks me that we sent missionaries there right after our country had just dropped atomic bombs on Japan, you know. But anyway, when they went there, it took approximately, I think they said 3 months for word to get back to the States, simply, hey, we made it, we're okay here. And think of how far we've come. Now, just this morning, I was on a Skype call with some of our fellow workers in Sri Lanka and India and Indonesia. And we had a chat, and we, you know, I mean, it was like we were all in the same room. It was absolutely amazing. And instantaneous, you know, communication. Also, I've been setting up Skype visits with some of my supporters and congregations and schools, so that they can sort of take part in that sense of, you know, that immediate communication with someone on the other side of the world and get a firsthand view of what life will be like for me in Singapore.
Speaking of what life will be like, I know that you've described the culture, a little bit about the culture in and the community in which you'll be living in. How did the family react when you started talking about moving to Singapore?
Well, we knew about it as a possibility some months before it became certain. And my wife, who I often describe as sort of an evil genius, she was homeschooling the kids at the time, and we had just happened to, you know, get a part of some homeschooling association that was doing a like an international fair. So every family was to present a different country at this homeschool fair. And my wife kind of coyly says to the children, "Oh, what country should we do? Let's study Singapore." So before the children even knew it was a possibility or on the radar screen, you know, we studied the culture and the laws and, you know, the fact that they don't allow chewing gum there, and, which my 9-year-old is just appalled by that. And we made a Singapore meal, and we did this whole, you know, project together. And so then a few months later, when we finally uncorked it to the children that we might be moving to Singapore, I think it made it a lot easier to take. You know, I don't know that the reaction was 100% right away. I think one of them reacted by saying, "Yes!" And another one just burst into tears. So, but that's, you know, that's the way it goes. We never have a unanimous, you know, anything around that.
Especially,
but, you know, since then... you know, I've often told people, you know, since I live in this house with these women, you know, I've learned that they have these things called emotions. And, you know, they go up and down, and there is sometimes all at the same time, you know, exhilaration and excitement and curiosity. But there's also a certain amount of grieving and, you know, fear and trepidation about such a thing. You know, one of the tough things, too, is that we realize we've got to get rid of our family dog. It just isn't practical to sort of take her with us, and she'd have to go into quarantine for 30 days. And she's old. She's probably 13, 14 years old now. So, yeah, it's a tough thing to think about having to make some of those, you know, say some of those goodbyes, actually.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Saying goodbye to your friends and family here in the U.S. that you might not see for a long time. Some you might not ever see again on this side of heaven.
That's true.
So it's hard to make those challenges. And I know, talking with the missionary families throughout the week, that's been a common theme. You know, packing up and saying goodbye isn't easy. But at the same time, when you know what lies ahead and the opportunities that lie ahead, there's certainly joy in that as well. I want to say to our listeners today, if you have a question for Pastor Christ and as they prepare to move their family to Singapore to serve as missionaries, you can join the conversation. If you're listening in the St. Louis area, you can call us at 314-821-0850. Outside of St. Louis, call us at 1-800-730-2727, or you can send an email with your question to family@kfuo.org. So you're packing up the family, and there are really several aspects to this, the whole moving the family, but also starting in, leaving your congregation as well and starting a new congregation. That's a lot of work as well. What is it? I know you still are working on the plan and trying to figure out what it's going to take to plant a church in Singapore, but what are some of the other things that you've had to do? I was reading your newsletter about hymnals. What kind of resources does it take? Obviously, I know financial resources, but what other resources will it take to start from the ground up?
Well, we got to start small, and I think we've had a lot of people and well-meaning people who've wanted to build us pulpits and kneelers and things for the new. We're certainly not there yet. So what we might end up doing is just simply having divine service weekly in the home, in an apartment, if the group is small enough and if that works. And that might be that way for some time. We don't know. One of the things with this whole thing is there's so much uncertainty. We're not certain how quickly this new congregation will become established. We might grow very rapidly. We might have some happy problems there, trying to find a larger place to meet, or whatever. On the other hand, it might be very much a struggle. That is often the case with mission work, that it's painstaking, and it calls for all kinds of patience. So, I'm going into that with eyes wide open. Having said that, I want to have some resources on hand, and we've gathered some simple things like hymnals and communion ware, and of course I bring along a lot of my own tools and vestments and resources for doing pastoral ministry. And it doesn't really take a whole lot to simply have divine service. And in some ways, I'm very comfortable doing that as a pastor of 13 years. These paths are well worn. I know what it is to write a sermon, have a liturgy, all these things. So it doesn't have to be rocket science in my mind, and it can start very small and simple and see where God takes it and see how he blesses us.
What do you see as the biggest challenge that lies ahead?
Well, that's
a loaded question, isn't it?
Yeah. I guess I would say, obviously sin, my own, those of the coworkers, those of the world around us.
Sure.
That's the theological answer.
And when Satan sees the work of God's people, especially as we prepare to bring the good news to people who have never heard it before, I'm sure that Satan will rear his ugly head in many places.
Yes, and he'll use whatever foothold you give him, and he'll play on our weaknesses and set us against each other, and we have to be on guard for that. And so we also ask that our supporters would keep us in constant prayer as we go about this work too. I would say another thing, sort of on a more practical sense, is one of the biggest challenges for me and my family is the uncertainty of everything. Not knowing where we're going to live, not knowing what it's going to be like, not knowing, who we're going to be with necessarily. A big uncertainty for us now is, when are we leaving? And that's one of the first questions that everyone wants to ask us, and in their excitement, meaning well. When are you leaving? Fact is, we don't know. We've had a number of challenges with getting our legal entity established for the regional office. We've had some visa issues, and every time we think that we've got a sort of a target date in mind, it gets pushed back a month or more. So I've stopped trying to predict the future. Which is hard for me. I like to know what's coming, and it calls for a lot of trust, and that God will do what He will do in His time.
When it comes to day-to-day life, I know that you'll certainly be doing a lot of work in terms of the mission plan, working toward the mission project and planting a congregation there. What about the rest of the family? What will they be up to?
Well, my daughters are in school now. I think I mentioned before that we have homeschooled them for a few years, but this year we've started a new sort of twist on that with an e-school. And so it's through the public school system, but they do their stuff online at home, which gives a little bit more structure and takes a little bit of the pressure off of my wife in terms of planning everything. And we're trying it. We'll see if it works. You know, we've tried different options. We've had them in a Lutheran school, which we really enjoyed, and we've tried homeschooling, which we enjoyed, and we're going to try this year and see how it goes. One of the advantages of this is that if we do move during the year, you know, over to Singapore, we can continue the school year through this program, and so it afforded us some flexibility that way as well. And one of the big questions people often ask is, well, what will your children do for school over there in Singapore? And, you know, we're probably going to put them in a Christian brick-and-mortar school over there, but this would possibly be another option as well. While I'm gone, my wife will, as I think I mentioned also, start her master's program through Concordia Portland, and she's already looking forward to that. And just sort of go on with all their activities, swimming and ballet and gymnastics and whatever else they're into. It's a very busy place around here. So I wonder if they'll even miss me much.
I'm sure they'll miss Dad. Of course they will. Well, I know that it takes a lot of support. As we've been talking with missionaries all week, it takes a lot of support. And that's really, as you mentioned earlier, that's the stage that your family is in right now, is gathering the support to do the work that is laid before you in Singapore. And so I want to make sure that our listeners know how they can do that. Obviously financial support, but what are some other ways? We'll post the link to the website, which is lcms.org/Christ, and Christ is spelled CHRYST, correct?
Yep.
So that's the LCMS website, and the missionary page that you can go to, and it shows you a beautiful picture of the Christ family, and you can read their bio and prayers, things that you can pray for the Christ family.
Yeah, and that page on the website is appropriately titled. It's called Pray for Us. And I think that is the most universal thing that people can do to support us. And I know that people are praying for us. People tell us that they're praying for us. I love all the little notes and encouragements that I get. One lady, a former elementary school teacher of mine, tells me that she's got our picture on her refrigerator door, and every day she walks by and prays for us. We've gotten cards and packages from school children who've written all. I mean, one of the packages came from a congregation in North Carolina, where the school children had written us holiday cards for every holiday of the year.
Wow!
So we had Thanksgiving and Christmas, and I laid them out on the floor and spread them out and took a nice picture of them. But it's nice to know that you're remembered and that there are people praying for your health and well-being and your spiritual well-being. Even as you go about your daily work.
Sure, that's sweet. Greeting cards for the entire year. That's pretty cool.
Uh huh.
Pretty awesome. In terms of the support that you need, obviously prayer is important, but also financial support is going to be important as well. And
yes, it is.
There's a link on the website as well, on lcms.org/Christ. There's a link to give now. How's that money used? How does that work?
Well, you know, all the funds that go to support us go through the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, and that's actually a very good thing because Synod is good at taking careful note of every donation and acknowledging it for tax purposes and all of that stuff. That, boy, if I had to do that myself, I would be completely lost. barely balance my own checkbook. But we do acknowledge those gifts, and we are notified of our donors, and we do thank and appreciate people for that. And the other thing to make note of there is that when you do send a gift to support us through the Missouri Synod, that it goes directly to support our mission. It's not going to pay for any other program or any other sort of administrative cost or fee, but it goes into an account with my name on it, and it goes to support my position and our work in Singapore. So it's not going to pay for carpets at the Synod headquarters or anything like that. And people often want to know that, and that is important.
It is. It's important to understand that the money, that the financial support that's being given for mission work, specifically for the mission that you're serving on, it goes to just that, so that people in Singapore can hear the good news about Jesus. That it's supporting the work, getting your feet on the ground there, and making that happen. I'm so glad that you pointed that out, that it's not just about putting new carpet in the International Center.
Yeah, it doesn't go into some void or sinkhole in the Synod's budget. I mean, it's very carefully targeted and reserved for our work.
That's great. And I think that gives supporters a sense of ownership, too, as you pointed out earlier, that you are our missionary. You are a missionary who is an extension of us and representing our church and our congregations in another part of the world where they so desperately need to hear about Jesus. Speaking about the Singapore and hearing about Jesus, have there been missionaries? You talked a little bit about missionaries in that area before. What is the region like when it comes to Christianity?
Well, Singapore itself is very multi-ethnic and therefore also multi-religious. So probably the largest group would be the Buddhist / Chinese traditional religion influence. And, you know, hard to say sometimes exactly what the numbers are, because many people who follow Eastern religions will, you know, follow two or three of them at the same time. You know, mm-hmm. they're very, hard to... When we think of Christianity, we think of the particular doctrines of Christianity, and we think in very sort of, you know, linear boxes and categories. Eastern religion is a lot more, nebulous or free-flowing in some of these ways. So there's Buddhism, there's Hinduism, there's Taoism and Chinese traditional religion, ancestor worship, things like this, a lot of superstitions. And then, of course, there's also Islam. Indonesia and Malaysia are heavily Islamic. Singapore is not as much Islamic. I think only about 15% Muslim. And there are also Christians in Singapore. There's about 18% Christians of various denominations, and Roman Catholic and Anglican and Protestant. So it's quite a mix. It's a very, very diverse place in many ways.
I guess that the question that for me is, are you going to stand out when the Christ family moves there? Are you going to stand out in a number of ways as Christians, as Caucasians moving from the U.S.? What's it going to be like to fit in the culture there?
Well, it's going to be different. You know, I've already had a little bit of that experience where I've, you know, felt that I very much am in the minority just by how I look. I mean, I'm kind of a tall guy. I'm kind of heavy set, I'm sure I will stick out like a sore thumb in Singapore. As far as, you know, in terms of Christianity, I think that the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod brings something that is unique with our confession of faith, which is both scriptural, and we also bring a deep appreciation for the liturgy and the sacraments. We're not fundamentalist or pietistic, and we have this wonderful, you know, law-gospel distinction. We have, I think, a wonderful set of treasures to set before people, and that is unique. That is something that is not easily found in the world of Christianity. Lutheranism, I think, strikes that very appropriate balance between some of the errors that these other Christian denominations fall into, unfortunately. And if we can maintain that faithful, scriptural Lutheran identity and approach, I think that, God willing, it will be attractive to people who will see the value in it. I know some already have. Some are already looking forward to us coming there and wait with eager anticipation.
That's great to be welcomed already with eagerness. That's great to hear that. Well, if you'd like to find out more about what the Crist family is doing to prepare and what the mission looks like ahead for them, you can, as I said before, you can visit the lcms.org website, lcms.org/Crist, C-H-R-Y-S-T, and lots of things on that page, in addition to information about how you can pray for them and how you can support them financially. There information on their birthdays, so you can pray for them on their birthdays, certainly. But I like the Learn More section with links to learning more about what's going on in the region, as well as a video from Pastor Crist about how God is making an impact in Singapore. So lots of great resources there to find out about what's going on with the Crist family. Anything else that we've got about 2 minutes left, Pastor? Anything else you'd like to share with us about your preparations and for your service in Singapore or what you're looking forward to over there?
Well, I'm kind of a foodie, so you know I'm looking forward to sampling more of the food. Singapore is very famous for its food culture. It's said that Singaporeans like to do two things: shop and eat.
That sounds like Americans.
Yeah, kind of like, but I think even more, you know, in some ways. Although they're not overweight like we are, so they must eat better stuff.
So what are they eating? What sounds it? Lunchtime here. So
there's a number of different sort of national dishes. One is chicken and rice, which is a very simple thing, but you know everyone has a different way of preparing it. Chili crab is another famous dish, and then of course everywhere I go, I give out. Maybe you even remember I give out samples of this.
I passed on the candy.
The durian fruit, which is this really sort of stinky fruit. It's considered a delicacy by some, but others just, you know, it sort of tastes like rotten onions to some people. So I'm not going to be taking too much of that in. Some of the other foods, I probably will.
That takes me back to my days of working in the international dorm when I lived in the international dorm at Concordia University in Chicago. And some of the treats that our international residents would bring in, they were delicacies to them, but not to the American students.
Different strokes. Sure.
I think the most unique was, the most interesting was apparently in Korea, dried squid is a treat, kind of like popcorn that we eat in the movies. Apparently, as they explained it, dry squid was the snack. So stinky fruit or dried squid, I guess it's all in where you live.
Right. They probably wouldn't like some of the things that we eat.
That's true. We eat some pretty unusual and weird things as well. Well, Pastor Crist, I really appreciate your time today talking with us on Faith and Family about the work that lies ahead for you and all the groundwork that you're doing now to prepare to go serve as missionary in Singapore and tell the good news about Jesus to people who so desperately need to hear it. We really appreciate your time today.
Thank you for having me. My pleasure.
Thanks for sticking around and bearing with us and just having a great conversation. Looking forward to talking with more missionaries tomorrow and Friday as well. So thanks for being a part of Faith and Family today.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye now. Coming up tomorrow on Faith and Family, we're going to talk with the Booker family as they head off to... they're already there. They're serving in Eurasia. They're in Prague in the Czech Republic. So looking forward to talking with them tomorrow. And Friday, what lies ahead? Well, I believe we're going to talk with some more missionaries from Papua New Guinea. Stick around. Moments of Assurance up next right here on Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.